The sermon this evening is from Lord's Day 11 of the Heidelberg Catechism, titled, Jesus is My Savior. We read a portion of the scriptures now in Acts chapter 4, reading the verses 1 through 22. In Acts 4, Peter and John have healed the lame man at the temple, lame from birth, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk, said Peter. And on that occasion, Peter preached a sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now in chapter 4, the response of the unbelieving Jews, the threats and the imprisonment of Peter and John. And as they spake, Acts chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power, or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, doth this man stand here before you whole? This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell at Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. And the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. God bless his word tonight to our hearts. Reading verse 12 again, Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Matthew 1, verse 21, the words of Gabriel to Joseph, "And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Turning to 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." On the basis of such passages in God's holy word, our fathers explained to us in Lord's Day 11 the meaning of the name Jesus. You'll find this on page 7. And just remember that the catechism now is, if you look on the other page, page 6, the Apostles' Creed, the things necessary for a Christian to believe. The catechism is explaining these articles, Lord's Days 9 and 10. Lord's Days 9 and 10 were on the first article, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth." And now, Lord's Day 11, if that's what I said, Lord's Day 11, page 8, now on the second article of the Apostles' Creed. "Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is, a Savior? Because he saves and delivers us from our sins, and likewise because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true: either that Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation." Do you believe in Jesus? Are you confident that Jesus has forgiven all of your sins? Have you come by his grace to an end of yourself and your sins? And by grace, do you say, "I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by Jesus, who has blotted out all my sins"? Do you trust him completely as the mighty Son of God to keep you? Do you walk with him each day by faith, seeking to please him? Do you worship him? Do you confess him before other people throughout the day that he is your Savior? Do you love him? Do you love him as you love and can love no one else? Do you understand what it meant when Peter said, "We cannot, it's not possible for us not to speak about him, Jesus Christ, my Savior"? Are you ready tonight to suffer for him, to be rejected for him, the only Savior? your Savior. In Lord's Day 11, we begin, as I was saying, the second article of our faith. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And here, the Catechism is going to move very slowly. The Catechism, if you peruse it, the Catechism is going to go at a snail's pace. There are going to be three Lord's Days just on those names. Jesus, Lord's Day 11, Christ, Lord's Day 12, Only Begotten Son of God, and Lord, Lord's Day 13. Following that, there's going to be three Lord's Days on Jesus' humiliation. And then there will be three Lord's Days on Jesus' exaltation. The Catechism is going to boast and glorify the name of Jesus. We talk about Him. We know much here in our heads. That's important to know that. We must know Him. But do you know and believe Him as your Savior from sin? How providential it is that we have come at this time of the year in which our thoughts are turning now to the birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. A series of sermons we like to look forward to about His birth. And this year we're going to take that Christmas series from the Catechism, for I showed you that it proceeds all about Jesus and all about His birth from a virgin. And so in the coming weeks, we'll follow these Lord's Days as our Advent series. And you can then invite other people to the worship services as they can learn with you of our Savior. And you have the Heidelberg Catechism ahead of time to show them and explain to them exactly what the Word of God that we're going to hear is going to say about Jesus. And you can take, at this time of the year now, this Christmas time of the year, you can take, for your personal meditations and devotions, you can take your catechism in hand, and you can go a day at a time to each one of these Lord's Days, looking up the Scriptures and learning about Jesus, your Savior. And may God's mighty grace work among us that we might know Him and that we may know what He has done for us, that we may truly know what it is to be a forgiven sinner. Tonight we call our attention to the name Jesus, and our title is Jesus is My Savior. And I'd like to show you from Scripture, as the Catechism leads us, that Jesus is the only Savior. There is no other Savior in this pluralistic pluralism of our world. With many Saviors, there are not many Saviors. There is but one Savior for a man, Jesus. Secondly, that He's a complete Savior, that there can be no additions that we have to make for our salvation, or He's not Jesus. He is a complete Savior. You may trust Him for all your salvation. And then we'll answer the question, whose Savior is He? He's not the Savior of all men. By grace, we say, by grace only, He's my Savior. The only Savior. The name Jesus means Savior, as we know. It's the name that was given to Him by God Himself through Gabriel, both to His mother Mary and to Joseph, who appeared to both of them and said, "You must call His name, the one born of the Virgin." And Joseph and Mary, two people on earth, they knew that it was through a virgin birth. They knew that. You will call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21, that's one of the most important verses in the Bible. You want to know that verse to explain Jesus to others. Jesus is actually two words. And children, you can see that in spelling Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. The J-E is Jehovah. Jesus is God. He is Jehovah, the great I Am. That's what it means. Jehovah is I Am that I Am. Jesus is the great I Am. And during his ministry, he would say those words. Remember when they came to capture him? Whom seek ye? Jesus of Nazareth. I am he. I am. And they fell backwards. S-U-S refers to the word save, to save. Jehovah, salvation. That's who he is. And that word means to take someone from the greatest evil and to bring them to the highest good. And the prepositions there are crucial. To be saved is to be taken from the greatest evil, sin, to the greatest possible good, the living God. And so the name of Jesus is a picture. There is heaven above and there is hell below. And we walk through this life with the weight of our sins and the awfulness of those sins. And we deserve to fall straight down into hell. But thou shalt call his name Jesus, because he is the one alone who is able to take us from hell and open the door of heaven and bring us there. This is how Peter put it. Neither is there salvation in any other. No one else can do that. For there is none other name under heaven. Whatever continent you're on, it makes no difference. Whatever people group you're talking about, it makes no difference. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That verse is also, write that one down. That's an important verse about Jesus. It's a striking verse because it was spoken by an unlearned fisherman who 3 weeks before had denied Jesus and said he didn't know the man. But now another spirit is in his heart, the spirit of Jesus. And now he makes a beautiful confession. He speaks boldly before those who are ready to persecute him and to imprison him, if he would speak in the name of Jesus. And he tells them to their face, the stone which was set at naught of you builders has become the headstone of the corner. There is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus, my Savior. Jesus is a Savior from what? From sin. He didn't come to save you from loneliness. He didn't come to save you from a poor self-image. He didn't come to save you from poverty. He is not a life coach coaching you on how to get through it in life. He is not a philosopher. He is not a revolutionary. He is not simply a good man. He did not come in Bethlehem, as we hear even in the church, for God to affirm human worth. Yes, belonging to Jesus, Savior from sin, means that you will never be lonely again. Yes, it means that if you have a personal faith in Jesus, you will have confidence. You will say with Paul, I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. Yes, if you belong to Jesus, you will want to show mercy and self-sacrifice unto other people. It's enough, said Jesus, that the servant be like his master. You will want to be like your master Jesus. But Jesus did not come for any of those things. None of those things express the truth for which he has come. In fact, if we say that's why he came, we dishonor him. We don't understand him. And if those are the things that we want from him, just those things, how to get through this life easier, then Jesus would say, you must go away from me. I have not come for that. I am a savior from your sin. That's why I came. Do you need salvation? From your sin. Everything that we read in the Bible about Jesus supports this. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God and man. Why is he God and man? Because as man, he must represent us for our sins, and as God, he's the only one who can lift that sin from us. The Bible tells us he's sinless. Why is Jesus sinless? So that his perfect innocence may be imputed to us. The Bible tells us of his miracles. Why did Jesus perform miracles? Why did he dramatically, you remember? One of the most dramatic miracles, the quadriplegic, who was lowered of his four friends, right through a roof, right in front of Jesus. What did Jesus say to him? Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. When he would come into people's houses, what would he tell them? Why did he come to their house, Zacchaeus? I must come to your house today, Zacchaeus. Why did Jesus have to go to Zacchaeus' house, the publican, dishonest publican? Did he go to Zacchaeus' house because lawsuits were coming Zacchaeus' way? No. I must come to your house because I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Salvation must come to your house today. Jesus is a Savior from sin. Now on your sermon outline, you see that I'm doing what I teach the children about spelling the word sin. I spelled it small case S, capital I, bold, small case N, S-I. In. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of God's law. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. Abortion. That's sin. That's to kill. Homosexuality and lesbianism. That's sin against God. Pornography, fornication, lust, the lust of the eye, the lust of the deed is sin. Drunkenness is sin. Meanness, cruelty to your classmate, bullying, hurting your classmate is sin. Disobeying your parents is sin. Trusting in anything other than God is sin. It's all sin. But we didn't get to the heart of it. We didn't get to the heart of it. For the word Savior implies that you and I are in danger. Implies a horrible thing. that he is called Jesus implies a horrible thing about you and me. It's not just that we do all those things. We are sinners. This is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. What does that mean? It means this. That if all those sins that I just mentioned that are sin were not on the earth, it means that if all sinners were off the earth, they're all gone and there's just you, just me, just you by yourself, just me by myself. All the other sinners were gone and just you, just me. It would mean that every sin is on the earth. If you are on the earth, if I am on the earth, every sin is on the earth. And we are lost in those sins. And I can't save myself from them. And I can't overcome my sinful nature. Jesus, Jesus is my Savior, my only Savior. He shall save His people from their sin. That means that Jesus is the one who paid the penalty that my sins deserve upon the cross. Judicially, before the Holy God. We've learned that in the Heidelberg Catechism. The Catechism at pains pointed that out to us. He took the guilt of that sin upon His own shoulders. He became liable for everything that you are as a sinner and everything you have ever done as a sinner. And He paid the price. He did more. He broke the chains of that sin, its power to hold you in your sin. So that now by the Holy Spirit, you repent of that sin. Your attitude toward your sin is different. You hate that sin. You don't love that sin in principle anymore. You hate it and you want to forsake it. And still more, Jesus, as Savior, has taken away the result of my sin, which is death. You are going to die. And death is not evolutionary, natural. Death is God's sentence upon sin. But you don't need to fear sin in Jesus. Because He's changed death to the door to everlasting life. Now you say, I know this. I believe this. I heard this before. And then you say, and I want to hear it again and again. I want to hear this. Or maybe tonight you don't know this. Maybe you weren't raised in the church. Maybe you haven't heard the gospel. Or maybe the word of grace has never really touched home in your hearts. May God's grace work in your heart that you may know yourself to be the sinner that Jesus came to save. Jesus is the only Savior. There's no one else. Without Jesus, we cannot be saved. without knowing Him personally, without His atonement on the cross for our sins, without Jesus being in our hearts, we can't resist the power of sin. Without Jesus, we can't die in peace. Jesus is the only Savior. In Jesus Christ are all the treasures of salvation, kept in Christ Jesus, Colossians chapter 2. Through Jesus, all the mercies of God have descended to earth upon God's children, His church and His elect. By His blood can cleanse you from that vile sin which makes you think, I can't look up to God. I can't go to God. His sin cleanses you. His righteousness clothes you and makes you clean before God. No one but Jesus. Jesus alone. Children, you remember that in the days of the flood with Noah, only 8 souls were saved in the ark. If you were to be saved, you needed to be in the ark. There was no branch. There was no mountain tall enough. There was no quickly construed raft. There was no human flotation device. There was only one place, the ark. Children, you remember in the days of Moses, when God sent fiery serpents slithering through the sand of the desert, biting and stinging people to death. And there was no cure. There was no cure from these serpents. Unless they looked up to the brazen serpent that Moses had lifted in the wilderness, of which Jesus said, that pointed to me who would be lifted up upon the cross. So salvation is only in the name of Jesus. Look to Him by faith, through the Word of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit. Look to Him in the knowledge of your sin. Look to Him. Jesus is the Savior. This is why Peter said for us, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life eternal. And therefore it means that you and I must always come to Him as sinners. You must always go to Him. We must not hide our sins. We must confess our sins to Him. We must go to Jesus. No matter how shameful, no matter how repeated, confess your sins to Him. Jesus will not say, I don't want anything to do with you, that you have done that, and you have done it so many times. Because of your sin, again and again, I want nothing to do with you. He will never say that. Because His name is Jesus, and He ever lives to make intercession for us, to receive you. He's the Savior. The Catechism now argues to us that this means then that He's a complete Savior. Now follow that. That's doctrinal. That's important. Jesus is a complete Savior. There's nothing outside of Jesus that is necessary for salvation. It's all in Jesus. If He's the only, think about it, if He's the only Savior, then He has to be a complete Savior. Then everything that is necessary for salvation has to be in Him. And it is. And so the Catechism says, we cannot find, and we ought not going around to seek salvation in anyone else but in Jesus. And then the Catechism presents this concise and this irrefutable argument. And it does so over against those who boast in Jesus and say that Jesus is a Savior, the Savior. It's referring to Roman Catholicism. And it's referring to free will Arminianism. And it's referring to all who would boast of Jesus as a Savior and yet would deny that He's a complete Savior. And so the Catechism says it must be one of these two. One of these two. You must choose. Either Jesus is not a complete Savior, and if that's so, then you must seek the rest of your salvation in someone else or in something else. Or, if He is a complete Savior, you will not find salvation in anyone or anything else, but only in Jesus. If all of salvation is not in Jesus, a good part of it is in Jesus, the major down payment for salvation is in Jesus, and left only you to find someone to make the mortgage payments for your eternal life, saints, Virgin Mary, indulgences, meritorious good works, the Mass. No. It's completely in Jesus. It's not in any of those things. None of those things have ever forgiven any sin. It's only Jesus. And same thing is true for Arminian free will theology. The idea that Jesus has done everything that He can. Salvation is available in Him. But for some reason, He can't interfere with your dead will. And He waits for you, at the will of the sinner, to accept His salvation. And He can't interfere. He votes yes. The devil votes no. And now whether you're going to be saved is up to your free will. Jesus has obtained salvation, but He can't give it to you unless you, of your own ability, accept it from Him. Then Jesus is not a complete Savior. Then the most important thing, the power to actually open my dead heart and to make me willing and to convict me of sin, that's not His power. He can't do that. I have to do that. But then I'm lost. Yes, it must be in our hearts. Yes, we must desire Jesus. But give glory to God, not to man. That's the work of Jesus too. All of salvation is in Jesus. The ladies' Bible study on Tuesday morning is being blessed by the study of the book of Colossians, written over against those who would come into that church with additions to Jesus. They would say to the Colossian converts, Jesus is good as far as it goes, but we have this hidden wisdom which is able to unlock the deeps of the Christian life. And others would come and say, we have these works that will truly give you confidence that you are a child of God. Others said, we have been in prayer and mediation with angels themselves, and they will truly bring you to God. But Paul says in the epistle, it's all the same. They're trying to enhance. They're trying to add. Paul says, it's all pride. It's just the pride of men. False doctrine is pride. It's our contribution to salvation, and it's deadly. And so Paul says, time after time, Colossians 2, verse 10, and ye are complete in him. He is the fullness of God, of your salvation. If Jesus is not a complete Savior, your heart can never know a moment of rest. You'll never find it. You'll go from one thing to the next. And you'll always be asking, now is that enough? Am I saved now? Did I do that good enough? Was it enough? Believe. By God's grace, believe in Jesus Christ only. He is the complete Savior. The Scripture explains this with prepositions. I spoke of prepositions earlier, from sin to God. Prepositions in the Bible are very important. The prepositions we want now are for, in, and through. Jesus did all for us. That is, in our behalf, says Scripture. Romans 5 verse 8, another verse that you can remember for your witness. For God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For us. That's substitutionary. That's in the place of sinners. That substitutionary atonement. That's the weight and the bondage of my sin being placed upon Jesus. So that all that was necessary to remove the guilt of my sin was Jesus Christ. And that's why he said, it is finished. The work that thou gavest to me, I have fully done. The second preposition is in. He works salvation in us. I was talking about that a moment ago. Apart from the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we could not be saved. But salvation is the work of the Spirit of Christ in us. Salvation is when Jesus takes the cross, what he obtained, and works it in us by grace, giving us a new heart and a new will. John 1 verse 12. But as many as receive him, we receive him, we believe in him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name, who were born, not of blood, because your father was a believer, nor of the will of the flesh, I accepted Jesus, nor of the will of man, somebody else did this for me, but of God. Born of God. And then through. Jesus works salvation through us. That means that that salvation is action. That means that that salvation that he works in us produces in us all good works. It produces in us repentance. It produces in us prayer. It produces in us godliness and obedience. That's Jesus. That's Jesus working in me and through me. He worked for me, and he works in me, and he works through me. The Apostle Paul says, here's the verse, Ephesians 2 verse 10, again, very familiar. For ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained, that ye should walk in them. It's all complete in Jesus. Savior is He. He is not the Savior of all humanity. He is not the Savior of every human being. His salvation is limited. It's not limited in its power. It's limited in its scope. He did not die for all. The word all, Bible, when it's used, there is no verse in the Bible which teaches that Jesus died for every human being to obtain salvation for them. If He did, then all are saved. We know the Bible says that that's not so. Let many perish in their disobedience and sin. The word all most often is, when it speaks of salvation, all is most often referring to all kinds of people and all classes. That's certainly the case in 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, which is perhaps the most common one used, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The context there is clear. Paul is telling Timothy that when he makes his prayers, he must make his prayer for all kinds of men. He must pray, this is very applicable to every minister, he must pray for kings. He must not exclude in his congregational prayer presidents and those who rule. He must not take a class of men and say, not praying for them. They persecute the church. No, Paul says to Timothy, supplications must be made for all kinds of men. For Jesus has saved all kinds of men. You don't know. You don't know. Pray. Pray. The all is the all of God's sovereign grace. I lay down my life for my sheep, he said. I know my sheep by name. John 10:27. No one will ever pluck them out of my hand. He said to the Jews, you are not of my sheep. My heavenly Father did not give you to me. Everyone that my Father, out of sheer grace, for God is God, everyone that my Father gave to me, I will save and I will keep. God wills to save us through the call of the gospel of Jesus Christ, through His own voice in the preaching of the gospel. God wills to save us by His Holy Spirit, that good and pleasant work in our hearts, confronting us with our sins, turning us by faith to Jesus. It's all God's mighty grace. Jesus is my Savior. This is what you will be saying now, if you have heard Him tonight. If your eyes by the Holy Spirit, as the Word of God was explained and read, if the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes so that you see your sin and your hopelessness, then the Spirit of grace is working. Jesus is your Savior. He's yours when you cry out to Him, save me, forgive me. You will have peace and joy and confidence and assurance. You will testify of Him like Peter. You will say, I cannot be still. I must testify of Him whom my soul loveth. I was lost, but now I am found. you will experience more and more the wrath of this world because this is offensive to the world. But you will be happy. For Jesus is your Savior. You will rejoice. For Jesus saved me. You will have joy. Deep, deep joy. Do you know that? Do you know that Jesus is your Savior? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, go and tell what great things Jesus has done for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, what can we say except the exceeding abundant grace of God, that rather than we should perish, thou hast given thy own and only begotten Son to be a propitiation for all of our sins. May the name of Jesus be our comfort. May the name of Jesus be our assurance. May the name of Jesus be written in our lives, that others may see Him and know that He, and He only, is the Savior. In Jesus' name, Amen.